The madness of March is upon us. The Jazz will have three first-round draft picks. Who should they watch? Who should they be zeroing in on? Or who should you be paying attention to? The great Rafael Barlow of Locked On NBA Big Board joins us next. Pow.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to today's edition of Locked On Jazz for the 15th of March. The March Madness upon us. The draft is somewhat around the corner. We're going to prep you up for it. You've heard from Leif Thulin of NBA Big Board, but this is the King Poobah of Locked On NBA Big Board. He's Rafael Barlow, and he is joining us on the show today to break down where the Jazz should be looking with their first pick, that second pick, and that third pick, which of the regions are most interesting, what matchups he might want to see, where should we have an eye on things. So we're doing all that today on Locked On Jazz. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider, and this is your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Thanks so much for making Locked On Jazz your first listen of the day. We are available for you on all podcasting apps as well as on YouTube, and we're free. Thank you very much for joining in the show. And by the way, we launched the new Locked On Jazz subtext. That's available at joinsubtext.com/lockedonjazz. Thanks to those who you have already tried your 14-day trial and are going to be a part of that exclusive group. It's going to be great. Thank you very much. All right, let me welcome him in. He is really the rising king of the NBA draft. He is Rafael Barlow. He has become kind of known now as the most traveled, the most knowledgeable, the most interesting, the most kind of gutsy of the people breaking down the draft. I think that's one of the signatures to this show, is that between Rafael Barlow, Leif Thulin, the grinder, who you've already met on this show and you'll hear more of this summer, who Sam Ferris and Richard Stamen, these guys are totally willing to buck a trend. I mean, Rafael, what was it? 3 months ago, I'm listening to you, and you're like, I think Brandon Miller could be the number two pick of this draft if I'm certain teams. You took a world of heat for that, and now everybody's saying the same thing.
Yeah, first, the Grand Poobah kind of threw me off. I haven't been called that before, but yeah, it was January, and it was actually just a conversation that I had with someone on Twitter. It was a guy, Tyrese Rice, who had a great career playing in Europe, and I mentioned that, you know, if I'm Detroit, it doesn't make sense to take Brandon Miller. And it was just a conversation between us, and it was late. I went to bed, woke up, just hundreds of messages. And I took a beating on social media that day, but I was just speaking my mind and what I believed. And I can't say that I'm surprised that things have changed over the last 60 days, but it does feel good. I can't lie. It does feel good to see that people are starting to see what I saw back in January.
So let's dig into this for a quick second. It's probably not something that's going to directly impact the Utah Jazz unless they win, get really lucky, and end up being one of the top three picks. There's Victor. Is there real concern on Scoot Henderson, or has Brandon Miller just made a big jump?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think that Brandon Miller has played well. There's obviously more to play for in college basketball than it is in the G League. I mean, they've shut Scoot down while Brandon Miller is competing for a national championship. I think it's also a little bit of maybe we, and as part of the media, crowned Scoot too early. And what real incentive did he have to play for? And you look at Brandon Miller, he wasn't a top five guy on ESPN coming into the season. He was definitely the most divisive prospect back in September and October. So he may have had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. The concerns with Scoot, or at least my personal concerns, was he was inefficient finishing at the rim. We're talking about a guy that is a phenomenal athlete, has these monster hands that can palm a basketball that makes it look like a grapefruit. And he has all the tools to be an excellent finisher, but he wasn't. And the last I looked, he was finishing around the rim the same as Sharif Cooper, who is a very small guard who one of the biggest knocks on him is he is too small. He can't finish at the rim. So those are my personal concerns.
You and Leaf had a really good conversation about this in a past episode. Great episodes this week on Locked On NBA Big Board. This is kind of your Cliff Notes version, but they went, Leaf and Raphael went through each of the four regions and what the prospects are, the top 10 prospects in each region. So you, if you're really a draft person, you get into some of the top 10 picks, you get into some second round picks in there. It's one of the few times you can kind of hear about those players in the midst of it. You traveled to France, you traveled across the over to Europe to see Victor. Just give us your take seeing him in person a bunch of times.
Yeah, well, the first time I saw him, it's kind of a funny story. It was my wedding day, and me and my wife got married in Paris. And, you know, we got married at the Eiffel Tower. In order to get married at the Eiffel Tower, you got to do it super early in the morning so you don't have a bunch of people in the background. And we had a whole day. So it's like, hey, there's this Wembanyama kid. I think he's going to be like the next great thing. Do you want to watch him play? And she said, okay, sure. So she had never experienced a game in Europe, and he absolutely played terrible. He got in foul trouble in the first couple of minutes. So, and then he was rail thin. I mean, he's pretty thin now, but he was smaller in November 2021. So she's looking like, do you know what you're doing here? And I'm glad that, you know, a year and a half later, things have definitely changed. But yeah, I had a chance to watch him play last year. I went to France earlier this year, right before he had the showcase in Vegas against Scoot. So I've had a chance to watch him play live four times this year. Totally different player than he was last year. I mean, he's a lot more confident. He's playing in a totally different situation. And he definitely, in my opinion, deserves the hype that he is receiving.
All right, let's get into some guys we're going to watch here in March. A lot of guys, unfortunately, as Leaf documented for us last Thursday, if people joined our draft preview show on last Thursday, kind of either Ohio State and some others program, so had some players, didn't make it into the tournament, so they're done. Arkansas's got two kids that are pretty interesting. They seem to be anywhere from 4 to 10 on people's boards, if that seems accurate, which means for the Jazz, there's a real chance with some lottery luck that they could move up or lose 11 of your next 13 games, and you could end up in that range as well. You know, who knows? Jazz schedule the rest of the way, if anybody hasn't looked at it, is pretty brutal. So tell me a little bit about these two kids from Arkansas.
They're really good. And the thing is, I don't think they complement each other. I think they are both point guards. They both are best with the ball in their hands. And I think Arkansas has had some struggles when they try to play them both together. I was actually shocked that they both agreed to sign and play together at Arkansas, considering their skill sets are different, but they, like I said, they both play with the ball. Anthony Black is like your big connector, playmaker, good passer. He's a reluctant shooter, but he finds ways to get to the foul line. He's a sneaky athlete, while Nick Smith is like your guy that just goes out and gets buckets, very bouncy off the dribble, has excellent touch, shoots a lot of floaters, but there are some concerns. He's been in and out of the lineup with some knee issues, and Arkansas has only labeled it as right knee management or something like that. But what I do like about him, and this is kind of like a knock that I have on Scoot, and maybe it's the difference between the G League and college basketball, is Nick Smith could have easily shut it down and still been maybe a lottery pick. He's out playing, he's competing. And you have something to play for in college basketball. Wow. Like I said, Scoot has shut it down. But I like Nick Smith. If I had to do a big board today, I think I'd have him as number 6. Even though he's a little rusty, he's had some 25-point games coming off some injuries. So I like both of their guards.
Who's the highest-rated player, if you did a big board today, that's in the tournament?
Brandon Miller, without a doubt.
Right. My bad. Okay, after Brandon Miller, who's the highest-rated player in the tournament?
You know, it fluctuates. It fluctuates. I think with Nick Smith missing so much time, we haven't had a chance to really watch him play healthy. I think he could be that guy. Jairus Walker has the potential, but he's playing a reduced role. He's playing more so of a complimentary role. He's on a veteran Houston team that just went to the Final Four a few years back. I like him. I think he has a lot more to his game than he's been able to showcase. He's a really good passer, but he has the toughness and the defense and the physicality that people like. Great body, good athlete. So it could possibly be him.
From a bracket filling out standpoint, Kansas goes and wins it last year. They had 3 first-round draft picks. Duke had 2, I think. Is that right? I think Duke had 2, maybe only 1, maybe only Paulo last year. I think felt like there was a second one.
Adrian Griffin.
Adrian Griffin, thank you. There was a second one. Like, do you still think that actually filling out a bracket, you should be looking at who the best who the has the most NBA players on it to fill out your bracket?
No. No, I mean, well, last year Duke made it to the Final Four and actually had three. Wendell Moore was the third one. You just never know. I mean, you look at Auburn from last year. They had two guys. One of the, you know, was playing for your Jazz. They had two guys that were drafted in the first round. They ended up losing to Miami. I think what makes college basketball tricky when it comes to filling out the brackets is some of these mid-major teams are old. And some of the hot teams with the NBA prospects, they're all freshmen. You look at Drake, and I just looked it up. Drake has their starting lineup, the average age is 23 and a half. They're older than, I want to say, five NBA teams. Maybe even older than Utah. Well, I guess Rudy Gay kind of changes that. But and they have their best players is 20, but everybody else is 23, 24. I think they have a couple 25-year-olds. So those teams are dangerous in a one-game situation. So I don't think NBA prospects plays the biggest role as far as, like, winning your bracket.
It's interesting also, by the way, that this might be even what Raphael's pointing out right now might be more through because everyone's got that extra COVID year. And yeah. So you've got these guys that are six-year players now at this point that are suddenly getting this opportunity. He's Raphael Barlow, Locked On NBA Big Board. You should subscribe to it. You should follow it. It's absolutely fabulous. They just do great work. Hit all the hot topics. Super four-show series looking at each of the brackets. I've had a great time listening to it. I got in trouble on our channel manager's call today because my five listens were all Locked On NBA Big Board. We as a group get together. Raphael, I think you know this, the staff gets together every Wednesday and everyone's supposed to have done five listens across the network. And then between all of us, we've listened to, you know, 100 shows. And I listened to five editions of Locked On NBA Big Board this week. And that was my five listens. And they didn't think that was really appropriate, but
I do. I think it's fine. I think it's totally fine. It's good.
Today's show is brought to you in part by our friends over at BetterHelp. BetterHelp is an online opportunity for you for therapy to improve yourself, to get better, to maximize the most you can get out of yourself. Because getting to know yourself is a lifelong process, especially because we're always growing and we're always changing. Therapy is about deepening your self-awareness and understanding because sometimes we don't know what we want or why we react the way we do until we talk through things. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on the journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. You just fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a therapist. If that therapist doesn't work for you, switch to another one, which is at no additional charge, which is pretty great. If anyone knows how hard it is to find people right now. If you're thinking about therapy, start giving BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to match your schedule. Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/LockedOnNBA today. Get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LockedOnNBA. Today's show is also brought to you by Built Bar, and Built Bar has its own bracket out for you and an opportunity for you to win. The Built March Madness bracket is here. We know you have your favorite bar or puff, so now's your time to make it count. Go to BuiltMarchMadness.com to vote for your favorites. You'll be voting for Brownie Batter Puff. Raphael, what's your Built vote right there?
Churro.
Wow.
Or birthday cake. That's
a puff. That's a puff for everybody right there. And so a little churro vote for Raphael. Here's how it works, by the way. You go right now and you vote and you can have a chance to enter the drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. And not only that, but one fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You got to try Built, the best protein bar ever. Seriously, they're so amazing. 100% chocolate. What makes Built bars so good? Well, the macros, low in sugar, high in protein, and 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. So go now to BuiltMarchMadness.com and vote for your favorites and enter for your chance to win your favorite box of bars or puffs. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick and increase your chances to win. Thanks for making Locked On Jazz your first listen. You know what I'm going to tell you. Locked On NBA Big Board is your second listen. At least it should be. at that point. So you can hear Raphael and the crew, the grinder, Leaf Tulin. We'll spend a lot of time on Locked On Jazz this year. We haven't really announced how much, but a lot, because some of us are going on vacation at the wrong time. And so might as well bring in a draft expert to carry the show for a while. All right. Kind of an open-ended question I'm super curious about in regards to scouting. If you actually go back to find out like, what's the key sign to success? People have done these studies. Playing in the Nike Hoop Summit is actually like the number one like key to NBA success. You can go look at everything else, but All-Americans, McDonald's All-American game. If you play in the Nike Hoop Summit, it leads to a little bit, and you do a lot of this, that actually high school scouting and 16, 17, 18-year-old scouting is just as, if not more important than college scouting. And frankly, the college game is such a quagmire that sometimes I watch the little I do watch. It's like, how am I supposed to tell what this guy can do when there's no space on the floor and they're about to enter a league that's got so much space? Yep. So from your standpoint, and the, I mean, you watch these kids starting when they're 13, where do you think the best evaluation is and takes place for you, where when you glom on or decide you don't like a player, you're actually most accurate?
That's tough. I think to get a fair assessment, you have to watch a little bit of everything. And what really confirmed that for me was I actually had a chance to meet Bam Adebayo. Met him in Miami at a gym. He was working out. And the question I proposed to him was, what made Portland decide to take Zach Collins over him? Because if you look at the Blazers a few years ago, everything that they lacked was like an interior defender, an additional passer, athleticism in the front court, all of that. And he says, well, they did not watch my high school tape. He says, if you watch me at Kentucky, I was a role man. And at Kentucky, you have to buy in. You know, when you sign up to play for Calipari, that you're going to have a role that you have to fill and play. You're not going to get a chance to showcase everything you can do. But he said, if NBA teams watched my high school film, they would have seen that I could handle the ball a little bit. I can shoot a little bit and I can make decisions with the ball. And he says that was something that he felt like NBA teams missed out on. So for me, when I watch a guy, I try to watch all of his high school film before the season, and I take notes based off of what I saw in high school. Then over the course of the college season, I'll add my notes, and then I'll go back and see, like, okay, well, he didn't get a chance to show this. For example, Brandon Miller is probably a really good example. The number one skill set that he showed me as a high school player was his ability to shoot pull-up jumpers off the dribble over smaller defenders. Well, Alabama's offense is like an NBA offense. They don't believe in the mid-range shot. So he hasn't had the chance to show that or some of his mid-post stuff. So to answer your question, I try to watch a little bit of everything from their high school film to their AAU film and then try to put it all together and come up with a valid scouting report.
Moving Scoot and moving Victor out of these players when the year started, so the freshmen particularly, or maybe some sophomores, high school, who were the most highly regarded guys out of high school before they got into college, the people that are in this draft and maybe that they can watch this weekend?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is Derek Lively from Duke. He was the number one player in the country, and he's only averaging 5 points and 5 rebounds per game. And I've been hard on him on past shows and in different articles. And I spoke to a scout about him recently. He says, well, you know, Lively is where I've always had him. He says just the hype around him made him the number one player. He's not as good as they made him out to be, which just kind of allowed him to get beat up in you know, like chats and on social media and so on. But he says his trajectory is about where he had him. Nick Smith, another guy, he was someone that really made a name for himself at the McDonald's game. And I want to say, I think it was the Hoop Summit. And he's been in and out of the lineup with the knee injuries, like I mentioned. Cam Whitmore from Villanova is another guy that people were really high on. They thought that he was going to be the best college prospect. He got off to a slow start because he broke his thumb in the preseason. So there has been some injuries that has impacted this draft. Derek Whitehead, another guy from Duke, had, a broken foot or a lower leg injury. He hasn't been 100% healthy. So a lot of the guys that had the big buzz and hype coming into the season really haven't lived up to the accolades that they had coming out of high school.
Cam Whitmore is a 6'7 athlete. Villanova does not make the tournament. Rumors are he may not play in the NIT. Frankly, understandable. At least in my opinion.
I talked to somebody just a few minutes ago, and what I did not realize is that, you know, when you're like an NBA prospect, you have this big insurance policy if you get hurt. And from what I've hearing, it's been a little bit of an issue for some guys to get that insurance if they play in the NIT because it's only covered during the regular season. So I just learned that about an hour
interesting.
Ago.
Interesting. Super interesting. Wow. Rafael, this is why you listen to NBA Big Board, is that kind of connections and those kind of comments. The Jazz, if the draft's today, the Jazz have, I don't actually know, I think it's 12, 17, and 27, or 10, depending on where it is, 17 and 28. Is the actual numbers. Where's Cam Whitmore? Is like, he seems like a really interesting one that even though the Jazz won't see him, fans won't see him in March, that they might want to look at. Like, who is this guy? Where do you think he falls? Because I've heard him bouncing around a little bit. Well, actually, yeah. I look at your show. That's really how I hear anything.
Well, there are people that are really high on him, about 6'7", 225, 230, depending on what publication you look at. Very strong, physically mature. He's actually one of the younger guys in this class. He had a buzz from how he played this summer. He represented Team USA and one of the USA competitions. It was like the FIBA Americas, and he absolutely dominated. Just dominated with physicality, his athleticism, his motor, and he shot the ball really well. The momentum has kind of died off a little bit because obviously college basketball competition is a lot stronger than playing the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico and Cuba. But he has all the physical tools. And you brought up a good point. He's like the perfect example of a guy that will probably be better in NBA with spacing because he's such a physical driver. And there's no space in college basketball. It's almost like you're playing in a phone booth in a sense. So he's someone that could really rise up, especially in the pre-draft process if he shoots the ball well. Teams may really like him because, like I said, his size, his youth, and he would be just a tremendous downhill slasher with NBA spacing.
All right, let's run through some positions here. The Jazz probably are not looking for a center. Their young kid's pretty good. He's been
unless they get number one,
huh?
Unless they get number one,
right? Well, then they're looking for a different type of center. The position the Jazz, the big most gaping hole in the Jazz roster right now is point guard. Mm-hmm. They really don't have that point guard for the future. Who are players in this draft that you think are that they could look at, that fans could see in March, or maybe you're going to mention some other kids, that are legitimate point guards for the future?
Well, the two guys you mentioned earlier from Arkansas, Nick Smith and Anthony Black, totally different styles. Nick Smith would be a guy that would come in and fill it up and score, while Anthony Black would be your versatile defender that defends 1-3, sets up the offense. And he may even look better with NBA spacing.
By the way, let me interrupt you just for a second. Hopefully people have listened to this by now. Arkansas plays at 2:30 Mountain Time on Thursday. So the day that this show will come out today, if you're listening today, 2:30 today is when Arkansas plays Illinois in an 8-9 matchup. So who knows if they get through it, but they're probably done by the end of the weekend. So if you want to watch these two kids, you got to do it this weekend. Sorry, go ahead, Rafael.
Yeah. Then there's another guy, Cason Wallace, who's at Kentucky. Not the sexiest prospect. He's not going to wow you with highlights and athleticism, but he goes to Kentucky. You have to give him the Kentucky bump. Kentucky guards, they just have this track record of outperforming their draft stock or draft position, whether it's Devin Booker, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Tyler Hero, Tyrese Maxey, Jamal Murray. It's a long list of guys. So, and he's the one that I've had a chance to watch and since he was like in fourth grade, when I was just a random videographer looking to make money on weekends, I filmed his team for a whole summer. So I have a bunch of footage and it's interesting. Anthony Black is in some of those games. Baylor's Keontae George is in the film. I'm looking at the old film and seeing all these guys. So that was a pretty cool to go back and look at that. Another guy that I like that's climbing up my draft board is Jalen Hood-Schifino. From Indiana, big guard, 6'7", 200 pounds, had a monster game against Purdue where he scored 35 points. I think he could be like Dyson Daniels, who kind of came out of nowhere last year and ended up being selected number 8. I think Hood-Schifino has a little bit more offensive game than Daniels, maybe not as good of a defender. But there may not be that much of a difference between Hood-Schifino and Anthony Black, except the high school hype or the preseason hype. So I have Hood-Schifino as someone that could crack the top 10.
Kentucky, by the way, plays Friday against Providence. That's a 5:10 game or a 5:10 game. It's a 6-11 matchup. Indiana plays Friday at 8:00 against Kent State. So if you want to watch either of those. We're with Rafael Barlow. He is the host of Locked on NBA Big Board. We'll continue. with him as we continue on today's edition of Locked On Jazz, your team every day. Rafael has a newsletter for you as well. Rafael, how can people get your newsletter?
Yeah, you can find it at nbabigboard.com. It is a newsletter that I took over for Chad Ford about a year ago today, give or take a few days. And I wanted to thank you for the connection. I would have never met Chad if it wasn't for the Locked On Network and the live draft show that we did. So I thank you for the opportunity. It was life-changing. And like I said, I just can't thank you enough. But it's nbabigboard.com. Try to do at least 3 articles a week. This week, it'll probably be 4 or 5, and I definitely have to crank out maybe about 4 articles because it's my season. It's the busy season coming up. And it's the season where fans from teams like the Jazz are now all of a sudden really interested in the draft. And if you're a Utah Jazz fan, you probably haven't cared about the draft in, I don't know, since Donovan Mitchell. So was that 2017? So it's going to be fun reaching a whole new audience of people that now all of a sudden have a major interest in the NBA draft.
It's a Substack. You'll get it. NBABigBoard.com. It's only $50 for the whole year, which is pretty great. You can do get live chats and Zooms with Rafael as well. But it's a pretty great little deal for you. Or it's $7 a month if you want to try to just, you know, do whatever you want to do. All right, let's get into wing players. Particularly guys we're going to see in March. Who are some of the guys you're watching that you think actually, you know, this could be a really important week for him?
Ooh, it's a long list of guys. Cam Whitmore, someone that we mentioned, but he's not going to be playing. Grady Dick from Kansas, 6'7", about 200 pounds. He can shoot the cover off the ball, has the positional size, pretty decent athlete. Sometimes he gets labeled as being unathletic and a bad defender. And just to be honest, sometimes people just do that if you're white. It's almost like if you're white, you're a bad defender. And if you're athletic, they think you're a good defender. And I like Grady Dick. He could have a big tournament. Bryce Sensenbaugh is dealing with some injuries. Jet Howard's not playing. Michigan didn't make it. Chris Murray, he's more so of a 4. That's the twin brother of Keegan Murray. Again, not a guy that's really splashy and sexy, but he is very, very productive. And I think he's going to be a really good pick for a team because you're basically getting a guy that will be 23 years old at the start of the season, and you're getting a guy that will be close to his prime while he's on a rookie deal. So you're getting a lot of bang for your buck there. If you're looking for upside or a shooting, Jordan Hawkins from UConn is a name to remember, arguably one of the best shooters in the draft. Taylor Hendricks, I think they just lost. I think they played today. He's someone that could be climbing up. He's more of a 4, but he's like a wing 4, shoots the ball really well, block shots. He could be one of the biggest risers as we get closer to the draft. Kobe Jones from Xavier, a guy that does a little bit of everything, rebounds, passes, shoots the ball. Should have a role in the NBA. It's like this connective tissue of defenders. I mean, the list goes on.
Derek what Whitehead. Do you think of this draft? Do you think this is a good draft?
Yeah. You know, if you would have asked me that in December, I would have told you, I don't see too many guys in this draft that could come in and contribute to an NBA team in a fair tryout situation. Now, of course, guys are going to be given minutes because of where they are drafted, but if they had to just go out and compete for minutes, I did not think there were too many guys, but players have improved over the years. I think it is a good draft. It is top heavy, but I think it's going to be a situation where there's not going to be much of a difference between picks 15 through 35. It's just going to be a matter of...
Oh, super interesting.
Yeah. I think last year's draft was like that too. I mean, you look at Kessler Walker. He was someone that, did I get his name right? You know, I always butcher his name. Walker Kessler. Well, every time I think I got it right, I get it wrong. But, you know, where he was drafted, I think he's going to be first team all rookie. So it's going to be a situation like that this year also.
He's great. All right. So that gets us to my final question for you. And this is kind of the fun part. I used to be a crazy draft nick. Like, that's how Chad and I knew each other so well. It's like, I was a crazy, crazy draft nick, and then other things happened in my life. So for me, what's so cool about the Jazz is that 27th pick. Like, you now can go look at 40. There's 40 legitimate players. Probably, let's say the Jazz don't get the any lottery luck, then there's probably 35 players, 5 through 40, that you can go look at legitimately. Who are some of the guys, and you guys on your show, maybe it's Richard or Sam or Leaf or yourself, you guys are a bit contrarian. You guys have players you like that other people don't. You are not a group that goes and looks at the big board and just reiterates what they're saying. That 27th pick, who are some names, and then again, highlight if they're playing in March, that are in that range that you think, you know, if I got him late first round, I'd be excited. Like, who's the, I know Herb Jones shot 9% in college, but like, who's the Herb Jones in this draft in some of your minds?
Well, you know, Herb Jones shot 9% because Leaf brings it up once every 5 episodes. That was his guy. The guy that I think that if I'm Utah, and I've always envisioned myself as like an NBA GM, but if I'm Utah, I have the ability to just absolutely swing for the fences and just take the guy that I think has the most upside. The guy that I'm going with is actually Victor Wembanyama's teammate, Bilal Coulibaly. He's someone that I had a chance to watch him play last year when he was playing in, I guess it would be like our version of the JV game, 2 hours before Wembanyama played. And he just kind of stood out to me. He was long. He was athletic. He was really raw. And I thought he was at least 3 or 4 years away. But he was the name that I wrote down in my phone as, you know, someone to remember. Then this year, he was still on their B team. But he traveled to Las Vegas when Victor and the Metropolitans came. Got a couple minutes here and there. He looked totally out of place against Ignite. But as the season has gone on, he has gotten better. He's gotten better. And now he's in the discussion of being a first-round pick. And I know Victor's agent, he actually has the same agent as Rudy Gobert. So I just went to Africa with Buna and Jai a few weeks back.
I think Buna was out here skiing, wasn't he? Oh, no, that was Rudy's doctor.
Okay.
Yeah. Fabrice was out here skiing.
Yeah, I know he still has his place out there. Yeah. And I think they're still trying to decide whether to put him in this draft and capitalize on the buzz that he has now, or if they're going to push it back to 2024, where it's a considerably weaker draft and he has a chance to go significantly higher. But if he is in this draft, that is the guy that I'm swinging for the fences on. And Utah has the luxury of, like I said, I mean, they can gamble and they have the time to develop him. So that would be the guy that I would swing for.
Interesting. Let me ask you just about 2 players, because I think people are going to get a chance to see them because Duke's probably going to play for a while. You mentioned Derek Lively, Kyle Filipowski, if I pronounce that right, and then Derek Whitehead are 2 other guys. Duke's such an interesting story, right? They really weren't very good early in the year. They walked their way through a not very good ACC to win that tournament. They're kind of an in pick right now, so there's a chance you're going to see 2 or 3 Duke games. What do you think of these 2 Duke kids? And, you know, from a Jazz standpoint, hovering at 17 or hovering at 14 or hovering at 27.
Well, Filipowski's interesting. He's been their best player this year, the most productive. I want to say it's like 15 points, 9 rebounds per game. Coming into this season, I thought his greatest strength was his shooting, but he's only shooting about 28, 29% from 3. He hasn't been able to knock down shots, but he's very skilled. He can handle the ball a little bit. He can pass, has a big body. It's kind of a weird player because you can't put him in a box as like this strictly low post scorer, but then he's not shooting very well from 3, so he's not like a pick and pop guy, but he's just very skilled. The big concern about him is that he's not really a floor spacer. He's probably best suited to play the 5 in the NBA. And in today's NBA, I think as a 5, you have to do either 2 things. Anchor the defense or be like a pick and pop guy. Or I guess another thing, you got to be like this vertical lob threat. And he doesn't fit any box. So he could be someone that if he's drafted 15, I wouldn't be surprised. If he falls to 35, I wouldn't be surprised. And then as far as Whitehead was a player that a lot of people thought was going to be a top 5 pick. I personally didn't see it. I think some of it is because he's been on radars for a long time. He played at Montverde Academy in Florida, which has produced from Ben Simmons to Scottie Barnes to Cade Cunningham. And I want to say he's been there since he was in like 8th grade. So he's played with a ton of guys. Moses Moody was on one of his teammates. So he's been on radars for a while. Unfortunately, he's had a foot injury, so he hasn't been able to, you know, I guess play with the freedom that a lot of people thought he would. He's kind of been reduced to a shooter, which he's shooting 40% from 3, like 41% from 3. But he's someone that a lot of people are still high on. I'm personally not high on him, But in a bigger role, he could basically regain a lot of the buzz that he had coming into the season.
Rafael, you do amazing work. The show's terrific. It's Locked On NBA Big Board. It'll be a staple of Jazz fans. Hopefully they'll still listen to Locked On Jazz, not just Locked On NBA Big Board. Don't turn them into your first listen, just your second listen. I mean, I still want the first listen here. Appreciate your time. Thanks for taking, I know you're crazy busy. Super nice of you to spend time with me on this, and great insight. And I hope people, got a few people to go over and grab the, go subscribe as well to Locked On NBA or the NBA Big Board. NBABigBoard.com, is that what it was?
Yep, NBABigBoard.com.
NBABigBoard.com, go subscribe as well. All right, Rafael, you're the best. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
He is Rafael Barlow. Tomorrow is an Ask LOJ, so send me your questions with hashtag AskLOJ. Subtext members get first priority, so that's, feel free to jump on and grab me. That's joinsubtext.com/LockedOnJazz. And make sure you go listen to Locked On NBA Big Board with your second listen. Thanks very much for tuning in. This has been Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.